KOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
On today's program, you will hear stories from Katie Weaver and Anna Mateo. Jill Robbins answers a question from an English learner in Mali. We close with an American story. This week, it is the third and final part of Benito Sereno. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
A new film version of the beloved American musical West Side Story opened in theaters around the world Friday. Director Steven Spielberg employed Latin actors to perform the parts of the Puerto Rican characters on which the story is based. This was not the case in casting for the 1957 Broadway musical or 1961 movie of the same name. Only one actor in the film was Latin, Rita Moreno, who played Anita. She won an Academy Award for her performance. The movie received 9 other Oscars. Like those productions, however, this new movie is also based on William Shakespeare's tragic love story, Romeo and Juliet. West Side Story presents 2 opposing groups of teenagers in New York City. The Jets are Puerto Rican. The Sharks are white. Jet Maria and Shark Tony fall in love, increasing hostility and distrust between and within their groups. Spielberg spent more than a year looking for his cast. His search went outside the United States to Latin America and Australia. 20 of the film's actors are Puerto Ricans or of Puerto Rican ancestry. I wanted to cast it authentically, to ensure that the actors playing the shark boys and girls were 100% Latinx and young, Spielberg said. Rita Moreno is among the cast also, and she helped produce the movie. This time, Moreno plays Valentina, a new part that replaces the original character of store owner Doc. Latinos are the largest minority in the United States, accounting for 19% of the population. Numerous studies show that the group is greatly underrepresented in film and television. Actor-dancer Ariana DeBose, who plays Anita in the new movie, praised Spielberg's work for its integrity. He is using his privilege to say, well, if I can do it, everybody can, and pay respect to the culture, DeBose said. Rich backstories are created for each character in the new West Side Story. Both English and Spanish language is used in the film. The writer of the new movie, Tony Kushner, said Spanish had to exist in equal proportions alongside English. Spielberg spoke of people seeing the movie together in public theaters. He said he hoped English-speaking audiences will suddenly hear laughter coming from pockets of the theater from the Spanish-speaking audience. David Alvarez plays Bernardo, the leader of the Sharks. He calls the casting effort a huge step forward. Alvarez said 2021's West Side Story and In the Heights another recent musical with a large Latino cast, are signs that the United States, in Alvarez's words, is beginning to realize that the Latino community here is much larger, and they are recognizing us. It is a beautiful thing to see that we are finally taking a step forward. We are here. We want to be part of America. We want to integrate ourselves with this society, Alvarez said. I'm Katie Weaver.
The shiny look of a glazed roasted chicken may look delicious, but it can be difficult to achieve. The sugar in the glaze caramelizes in the oven. To caramelize food is to heat the sugar in it at a high temperature. This removes all the water. The sugar breaks down and then reforms. The taste it produces is more complex, both sweet and salty, buttery and nutty. Caramelizing also adds a deeper brown color to the food, in this case, the chicken skin. That is, if the sugary glaze stays on. Roasting in the oven at a high temperature means the glaze could burn, or it could come off the chicken and into the pan. This does not lead to a caramelized chicken, but rather just a really dirty container. A cooking expert, Christopher Kimball, wrote a story for the Associated Press about a well-tested method that keeps the glaze on the chicken. The solution, he says, is in the preparation of the chicken. Kimball and his team of food experts found that cutting the chicken open and removing its backbone worked best. You can then open the bird and lay it flat in your roasting pan. The chicken cooks and browns evenly. And because the chicken is flat, the glaze stays where it belongs, on the chicken. Cooks call this preparation method spatchcocking. It is also known as butterflying because the bird's shape looks like a butterfly. Kimball's recipe for this simple glaze uses few ingredients. He adds some citrus juice to the glaze in a separate container to use later when the chicken is done. This dish takes about 1 hour and 20 minutes to make. However, only 20 minutes are actual cooking time. While the chicken is in the oven, you can prepare any side dishes for the meal. Since your oven is already on, you could easily roast some potatoes and seasonal vegetables at the same time. Here are the ingredients. 118 milliliters, or half a cup, tamarind chutney, or mango chutney. 59 milliliters, or 4 tablespoons, melted, salted butter. 5 milliliters, or 4 grams, or 1 teaspoon, ground turmeric, or ground ginger, juice of 1 lemon or 1 lime, 1 whole chicken, salt and black pepper. Here are the cooking directions. Heat the oven to 218 degrees Celsius or 425 degrees Fahrenheit. Make the glaze. Stir together the chutney, butter, and turmeric. Measure 79 milliliters or 1/3 cup into a small bowl and add the citrus juice. Set this aside. You will use this later. Cut out the chicken's backbone. Keep this to make chicken soup or chicken stock another time. Place the bird skin side up, flat, in a roasting pan. Season with salt and pepper. Then put on half of the chutney mixture. Roast for 40 minutes. Then put on the rest of the chutney mixture and roast until the thickest part of the bird reaches 79 degrees Celsius. This will be about another 10 to 15 minutes. Take the chicken out of the oven and let it rest in the pan for about 10 minutes. Finally, cut, serve with the sauce, and enjoy with family and friends. This recipe serves about 4 to 6 people. I'm Ana Mateo.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Molly. What are the differences between register, sign in, and login? Thanks, Kwame, Molly. Dear Kwame, thank you for writing to us with your question. These words and phrases are all common when we use the internet. Sometimes you can use them when discussing activities that do not require a computer. Let's look at some of the similarities and differences. Let us begin with the phrasal verb log in. This expression means to gain permission to use a computer system. Logging in usually requires a username and password. When a user logs in, the computer system keeps a record or log of that user's session on the system. We can also use the single word login as a noun to describe such a session on a computer. We can use the phrasal verb sign in the same way as login. But unlike login, sign in is common outside of the computer world. As part of security measures in an office building or school, you may have to provide information about yourself before you enter. That could mean writing your name or signing your name on a paper or showing an identity card. This creates a record of visitors to a place. Finally, the verb register means to provide information about yourself the first time you use a computer program or attend an event. You often need to register before you can sign in or log in to a service. Another phrase we use for register is sign up. Here is an example. I recently signed up for a bird watching class. Registering for something sometimes involves paying money, while signing in or logging into something usually does not require a payment. What question do you have about American English? send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Jill Robbins.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Today, we complete the story Benito Sereno, written by Herman Melville. As we told you in earlier parts of our story, rebel slaves seized the ship San Dominic off the coast of Chile. They killed many of its officers and crew. The captain, Benito Sereno, was ordered to sail to Senegal. But first, he was forced to take the ship to the lonely island of Santa Maria, near the southern end of Chile. There, it could safely get water and supplies for the long, dangerous voyage to Africa. At the island, the rebels were surprised and frightened when they found an American ship anchored in the harbor. It also had stopped for water. Many of the rebels wanted to sail away, but their leader, Babo, opposed it. They had little food and water and could not go far. Babo created a story to keep anyone from suspecting that the Spanish vessel was in the hands of rebels and that its captain was a prisoner. At first, Babo seemed successful. The captain of the American ship, Amasa Delano, visited the San Dominic. He suspected nothing, although he was surprised by the general disorder on board. He also could not understand the strange behavior of its captain, Benito Sereno. Later incidents, however, began to worry him. Captain Delano grew more and more suspicious. At one time, he even feared that his life might be in danger. Twice, he caught the Spanish captain and his servant, Babo, with their heads together, whispering like two conspirators. It made Captain Delano wonder, were they plotting to kill him and seize his ship? Who were these men? Cutthroats? Pirates? Captain Delano grew nervous. Then he was happy to see his whaleboat off in the distance. It was returning with supplies for the Spanish ship. The sight of his boat calmed him. It made his suspicions and fear quickly disappear. He felt foolish for having had such dark thoughts. Now, here is Shep O'Neill with the rest of our story, Benito Sereno.
Captain Delano went down to Captain Sereno's cabin to cheer him up and say goodbye. "Better and better, Don Benito," he said as he entered the cabin. "Your troubles will soon be over." The American invited the Spanish captain to come aboard his boat for a cup of coffee. Sereno's eyes brightened, but then the light in them died. He shook his head and said he could not accept the invitation. Captain Delano was offended. He was about to withdraw when Don Benito rose from his chair and took Delano's hand. The Spaniard's hand shook, and he was too excited to speak. Delano pulled his hand away and turned, climbing back to the deck. His face was troubled. Captain Delano could not understand Don Benito's actions. One minute, the Spaniard was warm and polite. Then, just as quickly, cold and hostile. Captain Delano asked himself, "Why did he refuse to join me? Why is he so unfriendly?" Captain Delano got to the deck and was about to step down into his boat when he heard his name. To his surprise, Don Benito was calling, coming quickly toward him. Captain Delano was pleased and turned back to meet him. Don Benito warmly took his hand with more energy and emotion than he had ever shown. But his excitement seemed too much for him, and he could not speak. Babo then came between the two men and put his arm around Don Benito to support him. Clearly, he wanted to end the meeting between the two captains. Walking between the two men, Babo went with them to the walkway. Don Benito would not let go of Captain Delano's hand. He held it tightly across his servant's body. Soon, they were standing by the ship's side, looking down into the American boat. Its crew turned up their wondering eyes. Captain Delano did not know what to do as he waited for Don Benito to let go of his hand. He wanted to step down into his boat, but Don Benito still firmly held his hand. Then, in an excited voice, the Spaniard said, "I can go no further. Here I must say goodbye. Farewell, my dear, dear Don Amasa. Go, go," and he tore his hand loose. "Go, and God protect you better than he did me. Go, Don Amasa, my best friend." Captain Delano was deeply moved. He would have stayed for another minute or so, but he caught the eye of Babo. It seemed to say, "This is bad for Don Benito's health." And so he quickly took the short step down into his boat with the continuing farewells of Don Benito, who stood rooted at the ship's side. Captain Delano sat down in the back of his boat, gave Don Benito a last salute, and ordered his men to push off. The boat began to move. Suddenly, Don Benito sprang over the side and came down at Delano's feet, and he kept shouting toward the Spanish ship. His cries were so wild that no one could understand him. An American officer asked, "What does this mean?" Captain Delano turned a cold smile upon Captain Sereno and said he neither knew nor cared. "It seems," he added, "that the Spaniard has taken it into his head to give his people the idea that we want to kidnap him. or else... And suddenly Captain Delano shouted, "Watch out for your lives!" He saw Babo the servant on the rail above with a dagger in his hand. He was ready to jump. What followed happened so quickly that Captain Delano could not tell one incident from another. They all came together in one great blur of violent action and excitement. As Babo came down, Captain Delano flung Don Benito aside and caught the rebel leader, pulling the dagger from his hand. He pushed Babo firmly down in the bottom of the boat, which now began to pick up speed. Then Babo, with his one free hand, pulled a second dagger from his clothes and struck at Captain Sereno. Captain Delano knocked it from his hand. Now he saw everything clearly. Babo had leaped into the whaleboat, not to kill him, but to kill Captain Sereno. For the first time, he understood the mysterious behavior of Don Benito, a prisoner under sentence of death. He looked back at the Spanish ship and got a clear picture of what its captain had escaped. On board the San Dominique, the shouting rebels were raising their axes and knives in a wild revolt. They stopped some of the Spanish sailors from jumping into the sea. A few, however, jumped, while two or three who were not quick enough went hurrying up the topmost wood arms. Captain Delano signaled to his ship, ordering it to get its guns ready. When the whale boat reached his ship, Captain Delano asked for ropes. He tied Babo and had him pulled up on deck. A small boat was quickly sent out to pick up three Spanish sailors who had jumped from Captain Sereno's ship. Captain Delano asked Don Benito what guns the rebels had. He answered that they had none that could be used. In the first days of the rebellion, a cabin passenger, now dead, had destroyed the few guns there were. The Americans fired six shots at the San Dominique, but the rebel ship moved out of reach. Small boats were armed and lowered. Captain Delano ordered his men into them, and they moved out to capture the rebel ship. The boats caught up with the San Dominique when it was nearly night. But the moon was rising, and the gunners were able to see where they were shooting. The rebels had no bullets, and they could do nothing but yell. Many of the rebels were killed, and the San Dominique was captured. After an investigation, Babo was found guilty of stealing a ship and of murder and was hanged. Captain Benito Sereno never was well again, and he soon died. So ended the terrible story of the slave revolt aboard the slave ship, the San Dominique.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
and I'm Ashley Thompson.